You know, it's amazing how that top of the hour news always triggers something that saw during the week. If you have not seen it, there is a video of a Boeing 777, 7067 getting it's a promotional video they shot precursor 787. Okay, thanks, Dave. I can read his sign language after all. Yeah, it's a preview video that Boeing made for the Paris Air Show, and it's on takeoff, and you know they never show it from the side, so you know it's a vertical takeoff, but it sure looks like it. That thing goes. I mean, you're looking at it down the runway as it's coming at you, and you see all the bottom of the plane gears coming up, and I mean you're still above the plane too, so it's a pretty impressive video. So, and what that has to do with woods and water, I have no clue. But it's just one of those things popped in your head. And when you talk like I do, you said there's no filter there. You just out with it. Oh, we really should have started off too, Dave, with the heat is on. Because it is going to be hot this coming week. I mean, they're talking, 95 degrees Monday? Pretty much 90s all week. Which says if you're going to be outdoors, whether it's cutting the grass or, you know, going to the mountains where it'll be a few degrees cooler or going fishing, you need to make sure you take lots of water, stay hydrated, you know, be careful. Heat of the day, try not to get out in the sun too much. And that's your public service announcement for this weekend. And after all that's over with, you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina, right here on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be your host for the next hour. Hope you took advantage of National Fishing and Boating Week this past week. I guess it ends up tomorrow. You know, go take somebody that's never been fishing tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, or tonight. Just get out there. Or if you can't do it, make a promise somebody you're going to do it. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yeah, you can listen right there on your at 94.5 on your FM dial. You can go to the Conservative Talk 94.5 website and click the Listen Live link on the right-hand side of the page. You can listen on TuneIn, various other apps for your phone, including the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app. You can find this show on Facebook, Woods and Water SC, hashtag Woods and Water SC Radio on Instagram. The website is woodsandwatersc.com, and that's where I put all the podcasts for the show. If you miss a live show or want to catch up and hear what I said last few weeks or last year, you can go to the website and find them there. Got some interesting things to talk about today. We will talk with Ed Paul from the South Carolina Waterfowl Association about Camp Woody, which is down in Pineville, South Carolina. That'll take place in the third segment of the show. But next segment's going to be maybe just a little political. I try to stay away from politics as much as I can, and I don't really know where to go with this story yet. There's not much been really done to know where to go with it, but it's a story over in Spartanburg County. And if you're listening to Spartanburg County and you want to chime in on it or give your opinion before they even have the city council meeting, you're welcome to do that. The numbers are 877-235-9405. And with that, I think that's all the housekeeping things. We'll get out and get on to the calendar events. If you listened last week, when we had Don Artman on the show from Grady's Great Outdoors, don't forget Tuesday night, the 16th, from 5 to 7:30, right down the street here at Grady's Great Outdoors in Anderson, is an evening with Casey Ashley. Come by, meet the 2015 Classic Champion, get his autograph, take a picture with him. He's going to have the trophy with him. It's free. Backyard parking lot of Grady's. I guess front parking lot's not as big as it used to. The official Bassmaster Classic t-shirts will be available to purchase. You can get one and have him sign it right there. This is not a sponsor-endorsed event. This is just Casey saying, hey, look, I appreciate all the support I've gotten from hometown crowds. Grady's was good enough to step up and sponsor this event, and he just wants you to come down and say hello. He has not done well, not done as well this year as you would have thought, but after winning the Classic and having talked to him a couple of times, he is just absolutely snowed under with requests and sponsor requirements and all that. I'm sure a lot of that's taken his mind off his fishing, but, you know, It's only midway through the season for him. We'll see how he gets the rest of the season. And with that, let's get to a few things going on with the calendar of events this week. If you're interested in going alligator hunting in South Carolina, the deadline for that is June 15th, which would be Monday. So if you want to get in on the alligator hunt in South Carolina, applications due Monday. You got four units: Southern Coastal, Middle Coast, Midlands, PD. Just for your information, all of Lake Marion is grouped into Unit 3. A hunter can only hunt in one unit. The unit they selected and drawn on season is September 12th through October the 10th. All sorts of regulations on one alligator can be taken per permit. Got to be 4 feet or greater in length. I don't know how many preference points it takes now to get drawn. When I got drawn 2 years ago, it was 3. And with most of these draw applications, a lot of times the points go up the longer you go into it. So you can find out more at the Department of Natural Resources website. There's a $10 application fee that you don't get back just to apply. You will accumulate the preference point. Alligator permit fee is non-refundable and non-transferable. So again, if you want to go tag a gator, that's what you got to do. The Point, second annual inshore fishing tournament, to give, to gather, to share, to learn, and to fish. Their fishing tournament down at Bohicket Marine, the captain's meeting is this Thursday, June 18th. It's only a $35 registration per person, $25 per kids, includes a tournament t-shirt. It's to benefit Barrier Islands Free Medical Clinic, Hollings Cancer Center, a lot of Meals on Wheels, Low Country Firefighters, Fight for Hope. You can find them at facebook.com, The Point SC. Join us for weigh-in, music, prizes, 50-50 raffle, food, and, of course, fishing. So check them out. Like I said, facebook.com, The Point South SC. You can also find them, probably if you Google them, it's probably there too. Goodness knows you can Google everything else and find it. Malden, South Carolina. June 19th through the 20th, the Mighty Move Festival, Veterans Memorial Park, Calpin, South Carolina. This is a South Carolina Barbecue Association cook-off, which those are always fun. Just be sure to wear very loose shorts this time of the year. Like I said, Calpins, they have the Anything Butts probably on Friday night, but Saturday's when you can go get you a little wristband and sample all the good barbecue you want. Last weekend, if you were listening, you know I love peaches, and those peach milkshakes are back at Chick-fil-A. This is the Ridge Peach Festival. Saw this, just couldn't let it pass it up because it's one of those back road South Carolina places you just need to go. It's in Trenton, South Carolina. It's June the 20th. It's Trenton hosts the annual Ridge Peach Festival in June. Listen to this now. The all-day family festival kicks off with a morning parade. The festival includes 115 unique arts and crafts, antiques, homemade peach desserts, preserves, peach ice cream, live music, rides for the kids, and a variety of food vendors, and a softball tournament. If you don't know where Trenton is, it's between Aiken and North Augusta and Edgefield, South Carolina. So, one of those nice little towns to go visit. It says the Ridge Peach Festival plays host to more than 15,000 visitors from all across the South. So, pretty big thing. Good weekend, little day jaunt with the family down to Trenton, South Carolina. Going on, if you're in Swansea, South Carolina, you've got a Friends of the NRA banquet. The Congaree Friends of NRA will host their banquet on Saturday, June the 20th at 5:30. Phone number 803-939-1486. If you want to go, regular tickets, $30. If you want a table for eight, it's $275. Friends of NRA banquet down in Swansea, South Carolina. Coastal Conservation Alliance is having one of their banquets on June the 20th in Bluffton, South Carolina, the Bluffton Rotary Center. Eric DeLong is your contact, 843-686-8214. You can go to the Coastal Conservation Alliance website and get more information on that, where to buy your tickets and that sort of thing. Let's go to a break. I've got just a couple more things for the calendar this week, and we'll get on to some kind of interesting stories in the next segment. So hang on with us. Stay cool. Go get you another glass of tea. Kick back, and we'll be back on the other side of the break. Survivor, survivor, survivor. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Let's get a few more of these calendar events off the checked off here on the list of things to do today, and we'll get on some other things. Rolling on the River, from the Chapin Recreation Commission, right down there near Columbia, South Carolina. Rolling on the River is a river celebration. It offers canoeing, kayaking, and tubing for all ages. Hot dog lunch provided by Saluda Shoals Park. Live music by the Mustache Brothers. And new for this year, we have a rock climbing wall. Rangers will be entertaining the crowd with wild and fun activities throughout the day. This is Saturday, June the 10th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Saluda Shoals Park. That's down below the big dam down there in Lexington. And I understand that's pretty good trout fishing down there, if you know where to go. There's not a whole lot of walk-in access, but if you have access to a boat, you can actually do pretty good on some brown trout down there. And that's where they stock by helicopter. From the South Carolina, this is one of those that I try to get to every year. From the South Carolina Wildlife Federation, the 13th Annual Wildlife Photography Contest 2015. Calling all amateur photographers, the SWWF is sponsoring the 13th Annual Wildlife Photography Contest. Send us your best pictures capturing the beauty of South Carolina's nature in your own backyard or our backyard, that being South Carolina's natural landscapes and creatures. The categories, Carolina Critters. Did you catch that bird sifting through the upstate snow to find its meal on film? How about a deer venturing out in the PD field to graze? Turkey, you know, yada, blue heron, whatever. Sandpipers down at the beach. I did get some pretty good pictures of those this year down at Edisto, and I might actually submit a few more this year. So, Carolina Critters, scenes of South Carolina. Sunrise over the ocean, sunset over the mountains, early morning dew in an open field, worth photographing. That sort of thing. Entry requirements. No more than three photographs can be entered in any... Man, my tongue is just in the way today. No more than three photographs can be entered in each category per person. Submit color, black and white. They prefer digital images, JPEG, GIFs, and PNG file types. And they go through to talk about digital alterations. Those photographs must be submitted by July the 15th, there are some cash prizes for it. And if you go to the South Carolina Wildlife Federation website, you can find all this. That's www.scwf.org. Go into the events, full calendar, and look for the photo contest. That's the calendar. It's just a place to get you started. It's not everything that's going on and not even very much of what's going on across the state, but it's a few things that I kind of picked out that were easy to find. I'll put those up on the Facebook page, have the event, the date, the place, and a website link. Make your plans, but always go check those out before you make a drive just to make sure nothing has changed. What I was referring to earlier is something that I saw in a news release, and I did a little research and came up with a pretty good article from the Spartanburg Tea Party website. It's county to look at discharging firearms in residential areas. This is in Spartanburg County. So I remember, and I actually called my brother when I saw this story and asked him, because I remember at one time they tried to do something like this in Greenville County. I think they've tried it in Charleston. Traveler's Rest a year or so ago looked at doing something like this. And the pitfalls, I think, are the minefield you would walk through to try to get something like this is just prohibitive from my perspective. But, you know, the more I think about it, you can see valid points on both sides. And like I said, it hasn't even been a committee form. But here's the article. It's from Daniel J. Gross reports at the Spartanburg Tea Party. Hearing people fire pistols for target practice has become the norm for Patty Brown in Spartanburg. She lives in the Hillbrook subdivision near the city limits. Now, Hillbrook subdivision, as well as I can find on Google Earth, is just a little east of downtown Spartanburg. She's complained about the shots since they're fired so close to other homes, but Spartanburg County statute permits it. Every city has an ordinance prohibiting discharge of a firearm within city limits, but nothing in a county. And Spartanburg County Council is hoping to change that. Council Chairman Jeff Horton is forming a Citizens Advisory Committee to study the issue and find a solution. Says committee members will be appointed Monday, this coming Monday. And that meeting, if you want to go and speak or listen, is actually in the comments section back here. It tells me where it is. Nope, wrong comment. Wrong comment. I'll find it here in just a second. Well, stink. I know I underlined it. Ah, there it is. The county council meeting is Monday, June the 15th at 5:30. If you want to speak for 3 minutes on this or any issue, you can do so by calling the county council's department head at 864-596-2528. So, like I said, the committee hasn't even been formed yet. The group is to be comprised of residents selected from each county, each council district, Deputy County Administrator Jim Hipp, County Deputy Attorney General Jenny DuPont, and Captain Tim Metz, which is kind of bizarre and have the same last name, from the Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office. Ms. Brown, who is a gun order and concealed weapons permit holder, said hearing shots has become nearly a daily event. She spoke at the last county council meeting and asked council to prohibit residents from firing guns in their backyards in densely populated areas. Now, right there, you know, there's a little bit of fault on both sides. You have to be considerate of your neighbors, of course, and vice versa. And if their property, you pretty much can't tell them what to do on their own property. So you get private property rights that jump into this right off the bat. Councilman David Britt addressed Brown's concern and urged Horton to form the committee to work towards an ordinance. And, you know, she goes on, she says, we don't need a Delaney's Law, for example. That's my daughter's name. I can't even imagine the horror of that. True, I can understand the concerns of a parent. On the other hand, it sounds like Spartanburg County deputies have been called to this several times. They've gone out and looked at where the shooting's taking place and said, it's safe. What he's doing is safe. It's not a danger to anyone around it. So this thing is just fraught through with being able to step on mines along the way. But we're not talking about restricting gun ownership or hunting out in the country. But when you live in a subdivision, that's the concern. And one thing I could not figure out, and I think I'm finally figuring out, is this is actually taking place inside the subdivision, not on land adjoining the subdivision. What we're trying to do is come up with an ordinance or law. There's 150,000 people living within 2 miles of the city limits of Spartanburg. All you have to do is be 1 foot on the other side of the city limits where there are no restrictions, which is true. And if you want the city limits ordinance, you ought to ask to be annexed into the city. Be one solution to this. Goes on down further. It said, hunting should not be done in residential subdivisions, Horton said, and gun owners should understand this. That is true. And if there's a problem with somebody hunting inside a subdivision, Department of Natural Resources regulations say that you cannot deer hunt within 300 yards of a residence unless you have permission from the homeowner, which would solve the problem if he's hunting. And I don't think anybody's hunting inside a subdivision. It can hit and ricochet. We don't need someone killed, some innocent person, because someone thinks they should be able to hunt in a neighborhood. There again, I don't think this is hunting. I think this is just somebody out there shooting their pistols or whatever in their own backyard. I did reach out and speak to an NRA representative. Of course, they're aware of this. They will lend assistance when it's needed to look at what they come up with and say one way or another if this is good or bad or if this is just way off course. Let's see. The NRA representative here, spokesman Catherine Morton, said she couldn't weigh in on Spartanburg County situation since there's no ordinance proposed yet. And when I talked to my contact in Spartanburg, that's essentially what we said. We said, you know, there's really been no action on this. Wait and see who's on the committee. Wait to see what the committee comes up with, and we can discuss it further. So I just wanted to let you know out there in Spartanburg County what's going on. You know, a lot of things that we're all so busy, we don't keep up with this. We don't hear about it. It's over and done before we know it's happened. So just be aware. It was interesting to read some of the responses. Some of them way on one side and some of them way on the other side. One of them did say, you know, what we need is exactly what happened. Ms. Brown is fearful of getting shot. She called the sheriff's office. They investigated, found Mr. Coble's backyard gun range safe, no problem. So, you know, it sounds like from that, as far as county ordinances go, he's in perfect compliance or whatever. I can understand the parental concerns, having kids of my own, but I shoot in my backyard. And I'm very safe about it too. The one that really got me, though, one comment says there should be a non-compos mentis. Okay, I just slaughtered that all over. Charge for such situations, but the lawyers will tell us that you just can't make it illegal to be stupid. And that's true. Yeah, you know, there needs to be some give and take on both sides, and I can understand. But boy, I tell you, when you start talking about making an ordinance against shooting guns on private property in the whole county, that's asking for some real backlash, as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, just want to let you know, Spartanburg County, if you're out there, haven't heard of this, now you know, Monday night, 5:30. If you want to speak, you can call them, get on the list of speakers, and have your voice heard, which is what our process is all about. So we'll keep our eye on that one. We'll get some updates on that as soon as things happen and there's some, because I feel like as a hunter, as a gun owner, as a parent, I can see all of it. I don't think this is a hunting situation, so we can kind of throw that out the back door. DNR would come down pretty quick on that one, hunting inside a subdivision with a firearm. The other two, I can see both sides. I like to go out. Of course, I'm in the county, so I can do it. I like to go in my backyard and, pummel a target every once in a while just to blow off some steam. I'm very safe about it. I have my, hearing protection on most of the time, eyeglasses. I'm safe for myself, and I'm making sure where I shoot is safe also. But I can understand from the other side exactly where they're coming from. It's going to be a tough line to find compromise on, that's for sure. But anyway, okay, moving on. That's the political side for probably the next 6 months, unless it comes back and rears its ugly head. I try to keep this show as positive as I can. There's enough negative out there. We don't need any more negativity. So try to keep it positive, but that's just one of those things. Keep your eye on. It's not necessarily either way, but something to be aware of. Finally, and I have had this for a while, congratulations to the Upstate Hurricanes Archery Club. We follow them on the show. My daughter is shooting with them. She'll be a member of the team next year, so I'm knee-deep in it for the next 6 years or so. Congratulations to them. They went to Nationals, did a great job in Nationals, and they have qualified for Worlds. And this is just a little bit in the national tournament. They're in the high school team is in the top 51% of high school. The middle school was in the top 36%. Keep in mind, there are over 2 million archers nationwide in the National Archery and School Program. And they shot for 3 days straight, and I think there were 250 targets in Kentucky for that shoot-off. Christiana Pusateri, 0.007%. She was 27% overall. Sylvia Smith, 17% overall, middle school girls. Both teams have qualified, and I understand now they're both going to World, which is in Nashville or Knoxville. I cannot remember which one, here in the next month. But they are team scores. We're off the charts. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to the Pusateris and Mr. Bergeron for doing a great job with that one. If you don't know about the NASP program, got a kid going into school next year, elementary, high school, look into it. It's a great program. And there, another segment. I still got tons of stuff to go through. So hang with us. We're going to talk to Ed Paul on the other side about Camp Woody, which makes me want to go to summer camp again. We'll see you on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, on this fine Saturday. Told you earlier we were going to have a good segment, this one, and it will be, because we are on the phone with Ed Paul from South Carolina Waterfowl Association. Ed, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I can't complain any, besides nobody wants to hear it anyway. Well, Ed, back when I was just starting out duck hunting, SCWA was, of course, we had Ducks Unlimited and Delta was out there a little bit, but, South Carolina Waterfowl Association, that was our organization. Been here a long time. Give us a little background and history on SCWA here in South Carolina.
SCWA was started in 1986, and it was originated to enhance waterfowl habitat and conservation practices. And then we've realized, once we figured out a way to establish that and make a successful project for wood duck nesting and things like that, we realized it was nothing until we passed it on. So that's where we went into the youth programs. But we have Camp Woody that's been a wildlife hunting and fishing camp since 1995. And we've started a school year program that was started in 2011. And we're all about the youth. But we've had some very successful projects with waterfowl and habitat management, and have done some great things here in South Carolina for the Atlantic Flyway.
Which it needs all the help it can get, you know it? It's a shadow of what it used to be, and boy, I wish it would return to what it, you know, what that era was. But y'all have done a lot. I remember the wood duck box distribution things y'all used to have, and we'd have reports we'd have to fill out and send in.
Yes, sir.
But we're here today to talk about Camp Woody. And it's been around a long time, and I do my best on this show to get as many of these summer camps on the air and get them exposed so parents know what where to send those kids for the summer to get them out from behind the computers and the video games and all. And I don't know how I missed y'all last year, and I apologize, but we're going to try to make up for it this year. So you got Camp Woody. You know, just lay it out there all for us and tell us what it's about.
All right. Well, Camp Woody is all about getting the kids back in touch with land, showing them human impact, positive and negative, and what we can do and how we can play our roles in nature. It's about reintroducing the next generation to kind of the old days, as you would say. I mean,
yep.
we take them back outside, show them some cool things, though we don't completely strip technology from what we're doing, because that's inevitable, and we try to incorporate it as much as we can and show how it can be used in positive ways. But Camp Woody is... It has three different levels.
Okay.
It's, level one is 8 and 9 years old, which is more of a introductory level to those who may not have ever had experiences in the outdoors, or, you know, people who have been in the outdoors quite frequently. But it's a great introductory level for 8 and 9 years old. And level two is 10 to 11, and it's just another... level that's similar to level one, but it increases a little bit in the amount of depth that we take the campers in conservation and waterfowl heritage.
Okay.
Level three is a more advanced level. It's for kids who have experienced the outdoors quite a bit, that have a passion for it and want to pursue their passion later on in future endeavors. It's a camp where we're able to put the campers in more lifelike situations,
okay,
like shooting firearms from a boat or from a duck blind,
right,
or from a layout blind, and introducing them into more lifelike situations that'll happen out in the field as future outdoorsmen and outdoors women. So kind of just teaching them those aspects of hunting and how to remain absolutely safe while you're enjoying those.
And that's a good thing that I just heard you talk about that I'm sure you would have hit later on. But this is for boys and girls.
That's right. It's co-ed. Each week is co-ed.
And if you read any news stories that come through like I do, women in the outdoors is getting to be a big thing because the boys aren't going out there much anymore.
Indeed it is. It's flourishing. We have some incredible outdoors women in the industry today to thank to that, to setting, you know, good examples and being great role models for the young ladies. But yes, we do. We have 10 co-ed weeks, and we have a lot of young ladies coming and attend each week,
which is great because I've got young ladies, and it's fun to watch them get out there and get dirty with the boys, you know, and show the boys, hey, we can do it too.
It is, and sometimes they show us just how good they can do it, too.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times, too. That's kind of hurts the old ego, doesn't it?
It does a little bit.
Well, tell us, I love the way y'all have the website laid out for Camp Woody, and you could go either way. You know, you've got the bullet point, a week in the life of a camper, or you just got the activity. So which way do you want to go with it?
We could go any way.
Well, what's the best way from your standpoint?
The week in the life of a camper would be great.
Then let's do that, because it does. It really lays it out. If it leaves you with no doubts about what you're going to be doing.
Exactly.
So go ahead. Give us a day and give us a week in the life of a camper.
Well, you'll come in on Sunday. You'll arrive at 4 o'clock, in between 4 to 6, and you'll check in at registration with us at the Chase Lodge. We're located here in Pinewood, South Carolina, which is directly in between Sumter County and Clarendon County. So in between Lake Marion and Sumter.
Yeah, and you have to know where you're going, because there's not much else down there to go to.
That's right. We are right down from Pax Landing.
There you go.
And historic Sparkleberry Landing.
There
on
you
Lake
go.
Marion. But yeah, you'll come in on Sunday. The camp lasts from Sunday to Thursday. On Monday, we will introduce any and all levels. It doesn't matter if it's level 1, 2, or 3. We introduce every single camper to firearms on Monday morning.
Okay.
With a safety talk, and we treat it like every single person that's there has never been introduced to a firearm before.
Great.
So everybody gets that refreshing if they need it. They get that introductory level of it if they need it. And so we all get to see the safe aspect of it before we ever go out in the field and handle any firearm.
Very good. Now, do you give the safety talk, or do you have somebody that comes in and does it for you?
We have SCDNR, Larry Chantier. He comes and does it on Mondays, and then we also are all certified in 4-H. So we do give it at times.
Okay.
At times. But we'll go out on Monday. We'll shoot a little bit, and we'll assess the different experience levels of our groups, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
As far as how we do the rest of our shooting activities with each group. We also will go and shoot pellet rifles for the introductory levels. We'll shoot 22 rifles on that Monday, and then we will shoot 3D archery. And then on Tuesday, you'll get up and you'll go through and do the other activities that you haven't had a chance to do.
Okay.
Like survival skills. We'll have an activity on that. We'll have a shelter building activity. We'll have fishing activities, canoeing, boating, cast netting, all different cool activities that kids are missing out on today.
Right.
And then on Tuesday, we'll also have a waterfowl identification class where we take them through and show them actual birds, some live birds, and then the rest will be in a book that they can see, and then they're going to see live later on.
Right.
And then we go into tuba side and campfire on those nights.
Okay.
So the nighttime activities. What we're calling tuba side is a giant tractor tire tube. And it's in the center of this mud pit, and all of our campers are basically playing a tug-of-war game.
In a mud pit.
In the mud pit. And after that, we'll do a belly flop contest at the end. All participate. It's incredible to watch. It's a lot of fun. It's just tons of fun.
It sounds like it.
Yes, sir. And then on Wednesday, we have the opportunity for those who would like to take their hunter safety course here at Camp Woody. They can take it on Wednesday and complete it with, I said his name earlier, Mr. Larry Chantier.
He comes right.
and gives a course for us, and you have the ability to take that so that
okay.
you can get your certificate and purchase a license once you're 16 years old to hunt here in the state of South Carolina.
Which a lot of people who don't hunt normally wouldn't know about, that requirement for having that hunter safety course. So it's great. They get it while they're at camp. You don't have to arrange a Saturday to go to another class somewhere.
That's right. That's right. You can take it while you're here.
You also got on Wednesday, I see we got Hugh McLaren, a Big Lake Championship calls comes in.
That's right. We have Mr. Hugh come in. He was just here yesterday.
Ah.
We have him come in and do seminars with his calls and talk about different types of calls and what it takes to make a call and then how to speak that language to the bird and what he's saying. So he does a great job demonstrating his calls and showing the campers what that's all about.
And then you come to the last day. How do you wrap up a week like this?
Well, on Wednesday night, it's pretty awesome. We have Capture the Flag out on our island in a 15-acre pond, our Bullington Pond.
Uh-huh.
And we all canoe over to the island, and we play Capture the Flag. A lot of times it's campers versus counselors, but we'll mix it up. It's incredible. It's a lot of fun. But to wrap it up, on Thursday, we have the highly anticipated Top Gun competition.
There you go.
So through all the week, everything that the campers have learned in shooting, in fishing, and and everything that they have done there all contribute to this shooting Top Gun competition. And they will go to Five Stand and shoot clays there. They'll go to High Low Shooting House and shoot clays there. They'll go to Walkthrough Range, shoot there, and they'll shoot the 22 rifles, and then also our 3D archery trails added into that competition. So we tally up the scores, and if we have any tiebreakers, we go to the duck identification.
Oh, wow.
For the tiebreaker. But everyone's attitude on the last day is pretty fun to watch.
I bet.
They're in competitive mode, but everybody's remaining safe, and that's what's most important, is they're remembering that even over their anxiousness or anticipation of winning that awesome competition. You can really see where they've taken those things in. So.
You can tell who's really jumped in it wholeheartedly, too.
That's right. You can. Yes, sir.
Well, one thing I always like to bring up when you're talking about summer camps, and that's safety, and you started off Monday morning with a safety talk before you ever start handling guns and all. I mean, the counselors and all that, I'm sure these kids are watched pretty good. I noticed, and also we need to mention the video. If you go to the SCWA website, they have a video that is just, it's 8 minutes long. It's a great video. You need to watch it. But I noticed something in that video. Every time you see a gun with a kid, there's a counselor right there beside him.
That's right. That's right. There's either a counselor or a shooting instructor, which everyone on our team, on our staff, is 4-H certified in shooting instruction. So everyone has been through all the courses and training necessary to be here with kids and firearms, but they're always going to be within arm's reach.
And that's important, because you do have some parents who will send their kids to this, because the kid wants to go, but the parents are not familiar with guns and all that, and it's a scary proposition to send your 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old off where you know they're going to be shooting and all that. So it's very important that they know, look, when you go to Camp Woody, they're going to be closely supervised by people who know exactly what to do in any kind of situation.
That's right. That's right. And we encourage those parents, like you said, to go to our website and check out our video. Also, they can see us on Facebook. They can watch live feed that's happening right now here at summer camp. They can see how we do things here. We're very proud of our team and our staff and what they do, and it's all there for those parents who are a little bit timid about sending their campers to see that.
That's Camp Woody. You got Camp Loophole, and I tell you, we're running a little bit up against the clock here, so I want to bring you back on a little bit later on, because that's a school time program, Camp Loophole?
Yes, sir. That's our school year environmental education camp.
We're going to have to do a whole other segment on that, because I think we could spend as much time there as we did right here.
Yes, sir.
Well, look, give us the website, maybe a telephone number, because I really do want people to go in and look at that, because the nice thing about this video is you bring the kids who are doing this to the front, and you put them in the front and let them tell you what they've done at camp. So give us a website address, maybe a phone number that they can call to find out more about Camp Woody.
Okay. We can be seen on our website at www.wildlifeedcenter, and there's two E's in the center of that. So it's www.wildlifeedcenter.org.
Okay.
Our phone number is 803-452-6001.
And I encourage you to go there and look at that video. It's great. Look at all the pictures. And anytime you can get kids in a mud pit towing on an inner tube, it's got to be fun. Ed, I appreciate you coming on the Woods and Water, South Carolina. Look forward to having you back on. And I tell you, if you could find a way where I could come down for a day and just take a bunch of pictures and get my fingers in it, I'd love to do that too.
We'd be happy to have you. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for the opportunity. God bless.
Same to you, Ed, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Gotta love kids in a mud pit. You know, nature is a full contact sport. If you can't get in there and get dirty, get hot and sweaty, pick up some bruises, some scrapes, cuts, just not doing it right. So, and we've got great camps here in South Carolina. You've heard a few of them over the last few weeks here. Carrie Hanna from Glendale Outdoor Leadership is going to be on the show next Saturday, talk a little bit about their day camps, their adventure camp they've got coming up. No excuse for your parents not to get your kids out there and get them involved in a summer camp. It's a lifetime experience in a week. You know, a couple weeks ago, we went up to the Chattooga River camping, and I debuted my camping hammock. Just loved it. But I got a lot of ribbing about, boy, you look like a beef burrito or something like that. What about the bears? You know, they're just not going to have any problem getting to you. And would you know, there's a story about a 16-year-old camper, backpacker, where a bear drags him out of his hammock. This will make you think about it. And they were doing everything right. The tagline in this is the father and son, they're from Ohio, were on a multi-day backpacking trip in the Smokies. Both were sleeping in their hammocks, had all their food, equipment, and all that suspended on the aerial food storage cables. But the story goes that a bear about 10:30 at night on June the 6th dragged this 16-year-old out of his hammock. They were hiking up campsite 84, which is 4.5 miles from Fontana Lake near Hazel Creek in North Carolina. The father was able to drive the bear off from the area, actually attacked the bear with nothing but his hands, drove the bear off. Luckily for them, there was some campers located at an adjacent campsite that had a boat that actually took them back across the lake. He's going to do fine. He's got some, you know, head wounds and lacerations to his face and all. But I tell you, I don't know what to think, but you know, it wasn't a day or two after this that I got the obligatory email from our camp cook, who said, no hammocks for me, because he was giving me a hard time about having my hammock up there the last trip. Now, this is probably an isolated thing, and if the bear really wanted you, he was going to come in the tent with you anyway. But, you know, wow, what a story. Luckily, the man, the young boy's okay. They closed a lot of the campsites up in that area. They did go in, find the bear, trapped it, sedated it, and euthanized it. You hate to hear that, but, you know, that's from their standpoint, their greatest concern is safety for the humans. And it, actually, the boy kind of recounts some of it. He said, I just felt a lot of pain in my scalp. He said, I had no idea what was happening. I thought it was a wild dog. I just remember my scalp tearing. The young man is Gabriel Alexander. What a story. But, you know, when we were in Alaska in 2011, I took my oldest daughter up there for just kind of one of those father-daughter trips where there wasn't just the two of us, just enjoying each other. And I watched so many videos on how to encounter a black bear, how to encounter a grizzly bear, how to encounter a brown bear. And we got bear spray, of course. And I've got to tell you, I think bear spray, whether you camp anywhere, is a great idea. And I'll tell you why. If you're ever in Charleston, South Carolina at Low Country Fly Shop, you need to talk to Scotty Davis about this. He told me he was a guide in Alaska for 8 or 9 years. They actually built a cabin and helicoptered it back out into the backcountry where they could take their clients fishing and all. And he tells me a story. He said, I've never had any real problems with bears except for once. You know, they're always around, and we had brown bears within 10 feet of us in Alaska, and they just ignored us. Of course, there was 300,000 sockeye salmon in the river. So why would you have to chase something down when you just put your foot down and grab a salmon? But anyway, he said he was guiding this group, and every day they come back into camp, and there were tracks through camp from a bear. He said, and finally, at some point during the time, they actually saw the bear. It was a black bear. And he said, you know, they just kind of dealt with it and just made sure when they came back into camp, they were talking and yelling and all. He said, but he had bear spray. So they came back into camp one day, and the bear has a box of Oreo cookies. And he said they stopped, and the bear's just sitting there in the middle of camp. He said he's picking out Oreo cookies and eating them one at a time, which you kind of, you know, that's kind of cute and all. He said, but the bear would not leave. They tried to yell out again, and it wouldn't leave, wouldn't leave. He said, I finally pulled out my bear spray. He said, touched it off, first time I'd ever had to use it. He said, as soon as that spray hit that bear, he said, I felt sorry for the bear. He said, the bear started screaming, squealing, clawing at his eyes, rolling around. Said he finally must have cleared off. No other way. They ran out. Said we never saw the bear again. But I think if you're going to, it's not that expensive. You can get different size canisters. Of course, I had one that looked like a fire extinguisher on my hip. there was no way I was going to get stuck with one of these little hand things that didn't go off. But I think if you're going to camp in bear territory, especially in the early spring when these bears are getting, you know, kicked out of the dens by their moms and all that, I think it's a wise thing to have bear spray. It's not expensive. It'll last, and it's just a good thing to have. You know, it probably wouldn't have. It might have made it a little bit easier to get rid of this bear, but it's something to consider. I'm going to forget this again, but I want to say congratulations to all the graduates out there. I think high school graduation is pretty much over. All of them are down at the beach or wherever. We have a high school graduate at my house. And I tell you, I don't know what regular school parents go through and how you get them through 12 or 13 years. We homeschool. I know what it takes in a homeschool family. Congratulations to my wife as much as my daughter, Jordan. They did a great job. Of course, through no influence of my own, she's going to be at Charleston Southern this year, so which is going to be cool because I'll be down there fishing more. But anyway, congratulations to all the graduates. Congratulations to all the parents for surviving 18 years, 19 years, 17 years, whatever. So had to get that in or else I was going to forget it again. National Flag Day is tomorrow, June 14th. Originated, the first flag was June 14th of 77. It was made a national holiday in 1916. So tomorrow is that. Chuck Norris for this week. If you spell Chuck Norris in Scrabble, you win forever. How did you celebrate National Fishing and Boating Week? Did you take somebody that had never been? Did you get out in the water yourself? I haven't so far, but I'm going to change that this afternoon. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pack up the dog. I'm going to pack up one of my little girls at home that is kind of having a tough summer with her knee. And we're going to go to the farm. We're going to catch as many bass and brim as that it'll bite tonight and tomorrow morning. So I encourage you, go ahead and get out. Take advantage of this. There's a cool thing out from Cabela's. They're sponsoring It's a national checkout day where you agree to turn off all your cell phones, everything, and get outside. And hopefully when you get outside, you take somebody with you. So that's my thought for today. Get out there and enjoy it. As always, take the back roads. Saw some crop dusters the other day on some back roads. You don't see that traveling the interstates. Be careful when you're out there. Take those back roads. And as always, don't forget that camera. And when you know it, I didn't have my camera with me last week. Stink. We'll talk to you next week.